Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Joshua chapter number 7, and I was hoping that I wouldn't have to read the whole chapter, but really to give you where we're at, I really need to read the whole chapter. So y'all just, I'm going to let you remain seated. While I read, and I'm going to try to take my time. I get mixed up on words when I read. Y'all just look over that, and I'll attempt to get through this, and if I just skip a word, y'all don't laugh too hard, okay? You'll probably laugh hard enough when I get to my title, but y'all keep that in your mind while I'm reading. The Bible says in Joshua chapter number 7, verse number 1, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing for Achan, the son of Carmia, the son of Zabdi, and the son of Zerhoth. And the tribe of Judah took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. And Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 to 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. And make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up, and that right there just tells you right there that you don't need to underestimate Satan. Don't ever underestimate Satan. Don't ever underestimate Satan's power. Don't ever underestimate what Satan can do. He's still Satan. He's still the same one that took the two perfect people that lived in the world and caused them to sin. Don't forget that. Satan is still powerful. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to get you. He knows how to get me. He knows how to get your family. He knows how to get my family. He knows everything of how to get it, exactly where to hit it. Put it this way, he knows our weak points, and he knows where to put on them. And I believe Satan jumped on the children of Israel's back right here and found a pressure point and stepped on it and got them. And we'll find out what happened right here. And verse number 4, so they went up thither for the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men, for they chased them forth from before the gate, even unto Sherbarim, and smote them in the going down, wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening tide, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou all brought these people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it, and shall surround, and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face? Israel hath sinned, and have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except ye destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people, and say, Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel. Thou canst not stand before thine enemies until ye take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, ye shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord taketh shall come according to the families thereof, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by the households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man. And it shall be that he that is taken with the accursed thing shall be burnt with fire, he and all that he hath, because he hath transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he hath wrought folly in Israel. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of the, and he brought the family of them man by man, and Zabdi, which there's a bunch of families he brings right there in verse number 19. He brought Achan's family in, And Achan, and we talk about who Achan is there. In verse number 19, the Bible says, "And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." Now, before I read any further, don't throw Achan under the bus right there, because you would have looked at that garment, you would have looked at that silver, and you'd looked at that gold the same way he did. You would have coveted after it, you would have wanted it, just like I would have wanted it. You'd have probably said, "They'll never see that one. Stick that one in my pocket." And he went on to hide it. And you would have done the same exact thing. And I would have done the exact same thing. So let's not throw him under the bus, because we would have done the same thing. We really would have. We're no better than he is. He's not. He was a child of God. He was one of the children of Israel. He was just living life. He saw an opportunity of sin. He took that opportunity of sin, and we find out later on it cost his life and his family's life. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them into Joshua, and all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerahath, and the silver, and the garment, and the wedge of gold, and his sons, and his daughters, and his oxen, and his asses, and his sheep, and his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, Why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. Jesus, Lord, we thank you for what you do for us, Lord. God, we thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. God, I thank you, God, for helping us get through it, God. And God, I just praise your holy name, God, for your word tonight, God. I thank you, Lord, for it, how much it means to me and how it speaks to me, God. I praise your holy name for it, God. I pray, God, that you'll touch your word tonight, God. I pray, God, you'll give us something out of it, God. God, I pray, God, that you'll just let me be a mouthpiece for you tonight, God. I just pray, God, I can be a help to someone, God. God, we need you tonight, God. I pray, God, that you touch us, show up in a mighty way, God. And God, I pray most importantly tonight, God, if there's somebody here lost and undone without you, God, that they'll come to know you as their personal Savior, God. I pray also, God, that you'll touch our pastor and Brother Ryan tonight, God. I pray, God, for a protective hedge about them, God. Keep them safe, God. I pray, God, that you'll just dissolve the situation, God. God, that you'll step out on the scene, God, and you'll do something great and mighty up there tonight, God. Touch them families tonight, God, and we'll be careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, with the help of the Lord tonight, I'm going to preach a message titled After a Country Music Song. After a Country Music Song, I'm just kidding. And I'm going to preach a message tonight titled An Achan Breaking Heart. An Achan Breaking Heart. And tonight, we laugh at it, but it's true. We do laugh at it, but it is true. If you've got sin in your life tonight, guess what? Your heart is aching, and it's a breaking. If you've got something that you're hiding inside you, you're aching and you're breaking deep down inside. You may put on a good front in front of everybody. You may put on a good show, but deep down inside, you're aching and you're breaking deep down inside. This thing, this accursed thing that you have in your life, it is destroying you. It is tearing you down left and right. And why don't you tonight just get help? God gave Achan an opportunity to get right with God. He gave him that opportunity. He didn't take it. He didn't take the opportunity to confess it. If you don't take the opportunity to confess it, God will take the opportunity to bring it out. And then it cost him his life. What's it going to cost you? What's it going to cost you to get right tonight? So I'm going to preach a message tonight on the aching, breaking heart. I thought about this a lot of times. What do I want to be remembered as? What is something that I want to be remembered as? I want my kids to remember me as a good dad, a great dad. I want my wife to remember me as a great husband, a good husband, a godly dad. I want to be remembered as a preacher. I don't care if they put great in front of my name or not. I just want to be remembered as a preacher because God saw something in me enough to say, I'm not only going to call you to be saved, I'm going to call you to preach. And that's just a special calling that I take very seriously. And just that title on my name makes me for God to choose me, wow. That's great, but what do I want to be remembered as? And I got to looking at what was Achan remembered as? Number one, they didn't even spell his name right when he's remembered in the book of Chronicles. In the book of Chronicles, the sons of Carmia, Achar, A-C-H-A-R. And over here in Joshua, it's Achan. They didn't even spell his name right, Brother Dakota. I mean, I've been at a ball game, and I know some of y'all play ball, and when they announce your name when you're coming out of the gate, I mean, it is, y'all know what I'm talking about. It just does something for you when they call your name. But one day, I remember this, this is back in high school, and we was in an Easter tournament. It's back probably 2008. We was in an Easter tournament, and hey, easy now. We was back, it was in an Easter tournament, and they gave our names to the announcer to announce the name. And there was, I forget who it was on our team, but they announced their name like it wasn't even close. It wasn't even close to come out. And he went to trotting out there, and they said his name wrong. He stopped and just looked around like, that's not even close to my name. But, I mean, it's something to get your name right. You know, Achan didn't even get his name spelled right when they were getting talked about. It was spelled, didn't even know really who he was. He was forgotten about because of his sin. If you want to leave a legacy, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to live a sinless life. Not a life without sin, but a sinless life. Unless you want to be remembered for that person that sinned. Unless you want to be remembered for that person that missed the mark. That'd be the only other way that you would make it on a good scale. You need to make sure that you live a sinless life. But I got to thinking here in this chapter. In chapter number 7 of the book of Joshua, the children of Israel had just came off the biggest victory probably that they had ever had at this point. I mean, it was a Goliath-sized victory, but it wasn't Goliath. It was a big victory. It was the walls of Jericho had just came down. They just destroyed the city of Jericho and never lifted a finger. The city fell down on itself, and they just watched it happen. They just marched around it for a week, and then on the last day, they marched it down 7 times, and it fell. And what miracle, could you imagine what victory they feel? I know I compare a lot of things to ball games, but I remember times when we'd win big. We played Mount Airy one time, and we beat them and didn't even make it through the second inning. And it was already 25-0. I'd batted like 7 times in one inning. It was ridiculous how bad we were beating them. And then the next time we came out, we didn't even score a run. Didn't even score one run. That's just how it works. We get this big head. Y'all have seen it before. You see it. Professional athletes get it. Everybody gets it. They think, I got this. I win. Ain't nobody can beat me. They get that chest stuck out. That head swells. And then, boop, somebody pops their bubble. And that's what happened right here to the children of Israel. The children of Israel had came out a Jericho-sized victory. And folks, I'm here to tell you, wherever there's a Jericho-sized victory in your life, you better keep a watch for AI. You better keep a watch for AI. Because there's going to be an AI that comes along that, yes, you can defeat. You can defeat it, but it'll get you down. You know, when the Lord or when the devil fights me the most is right after a big victory. Right after a great Sunday at church. I'm talking, we'll have people saved. We'll see, like, God just show up on Sunday night and just blow the service out. And Monday morning, there'll be a little AI show up somewhere. There'll be a little AI show up and ruin your week for the entire week. You'll sin, you'll mess up that day right after a big victory. Satan will get on your back so strong after a big victory. I was so scared after the 2016 revival. I was like, where is Satan going to attack us at? Where is he going to get us at? And I'm still kind of, what's he going to do? Because Satan does not like the idea of Foothills Youth Fellowship, or Foothills Fellowship. Satan doesn't like it. You know what Satan wants to do? He wants to put an AI in there and destroy it. He wants to put a little conflict between two girls over a boy and destroy it. He wants to put two conflict between the preachers there. A little. He wants to throw up something in their face just to make them mad at each other so that they can destroy. That's what Satan wants to do. And Satan will do it if we allow it. If we allow it to happen, Satan will do it. Here in Joshua, the book of Joshua here, we know that they just came off this big city they just destroyed that big city. They came off this great victory, and I love how our Bible, when there is a big victory, God follows a big victory with this word, but this happened, but this happened, but. And we read chapter number 6, and it's a very well-known story. I mean, we learn about, we sing the song, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. We sing that song all the time as little kids. We all know it, and we sing with it, but we don't ever really get to chapter 7. I was guilty of it. I was guilty for years. I never knew what chapter 7 of the book of Joshua talked about. I didn't know it because that's not what we want to look at. We don't want to look at sin. Let's not preach on sin. Let's stay away from sin. Let's not even talk about sin. Sin is a bad word. We're not supposed to talk about sin. That's what we see. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what this world looks at. You go to a contemporary church today, and a lot of times you hear the word sin. It's going to be very, very rare, and it's going to be few and far between. I mean, you're just not going to hear it. The sin is just something that just is overlooked today. And that's really what we're going to preach on tonight is sin. And why we have an aching, breaking heart is because we got sin in our life. Why we have, and what I'm saying is our Achan, I could imagine what Achan was going through. He knew he messed up. And think about this right here. He had 36 men dead. 36 widows crying. 36 orphans crying, missing their daddy. 36 funerals that just took place, all because of the mistake of one man. All because one man did not obey God. He let his flesh win. He let his flesh win, and it cost the lives not only of his family, but it cost the lives of 36 men. 36 men. 36 men that it cost the lives of. What's it going to cost? And when we're looking at this, I don't want to get so wrapped up on the fact that Joshua messed up is what I'm trying to say. Because Joshua, he should have known better. As a man of God, he should have known better than to just say, don't take the Ark of the Lord with you. Don't take enough of them with you. Just take three. I'll listen to you. Could he have done it? He could have. But you know what I'd have done in the same situation? Oh, you think 3,000 will do it? Go ahead. Take you 3,000 and you do your thing. That's exactly what I'd have done. It's exactly what anybody in here would have done. Because that's just it. What made sense. And so I don't want to get wrapped up on. I really want to focus in on Ai and his sin. And when we talk about sin and what sin can do to somebody, we're going to talk about it here in a minute. I got a neat little illustration I'll show you. But number one tonight, as we get into this, let's look at this right here, a painful defeat. A painful defeat. They just came off that great victory we just talked about. They were living on cloud nine. And then we have this painful defeat. Israel was a confident people. You can see the confidence gleaming off of them as he says, what does he say right here? He says, and Joshua sent up from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Haven on the east side of Bethlehem, spake unto them, saying, go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai, and they turned to Joshua and said to them, not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 to 3,000 men go up and smite Ai. You can see he got confident. These men that he sent up there, they said, I can see what we done back there. I can see what they done back here. I'm just here to tell you, if your enemy is over here on this side, you're never going to fight him like this. You're never going to fight him like this if he's back here behind. You got to face your enemy. You can't look over here and say, oh, yeah, look what happened back here, boy. I'm going to get you back here. That ain't what's going to happen. What's going to happen is you're going to get beat. You're going to get beat if that happens. You're going to lose. If you try to attack Satan while looking at your past victories, you will lose. You will lose. It's guaranteed that you will lose because you're weak. Satan is stronger than you are. You got to have God. And God, I'm here to tell you right now, and I mean this, what I'm saying, God don't live in past victories. God does not live in, he don't live in past defeats. He don't live in past victories. He lives in present time, right now where we are. He's not a dead God. He's a living God that we have here. And we need to realize that he's here. We need to stay with him. Forget, what does Paul say? Forget them things which are behind us. I'm not quoting exactly right, but pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. How many times do we see, and I love these videos, they crack me up, when you see a runner running to the finish line and he slacks up. And he just lays back, and you see somebody run right at the last second, pass him for the win. That cracks me up. I get so tickled when I watch that. It just cracks me up. But that's what we do when we're looking at past victories. We're sitting there saying, I got this. Look at me. Look what I got. And I'm here to tell you, if you do that, you've got to realize, even when you win, and you've got this big spiritual victory in your life, you've got to realize that you are still human. And you can still fail. You can still make mistakes. I don't care if you came off a 40-day total fast. That's when Satan's going to hit you the hardest. When was Jesus attacked by Satan the hardest? Right after a big fast. He accomplished something that in my mind, I can't fathom a total fast for 40 days. I struggle missing one meal. I fight it. I'm telling you, I got to pray hard to miss one meal. And he missed, what's 40 times 3? There you go, that many meals he missed. Not counting snack time. I mean, you know what I mean? He missed all that. And right after that great victory, Satan hit him. And right after this great victory of Jericho, this Jericho-sized victory, this little Ai came in, and we see a painful defeat. Israel was confident. Israel, though they were confident, they were conquered. Israel was a conquered people. You want to know why they were conquered? Because of their confidence. There's a difference between having confidence in the Lord. I can go into a battle with Satan, I can go into a fight with Satan, and know that I've got God on my side. I can have that confidence. That's not the confidence that they had. They had the confidence of, I don't even need God. They didn't take the Ark of the Covenant with them. They didn't take it with them. It stayed back in the camp. And when they went to take Jericho, when they marched Jericho around the city, when they marched around the city of Jericho, they took the Ark of the Covenant with them. They took the power of God with them. If we're ever going to make it in this world, folks, we have got to make it with the power of God. It's going to take us getting the power of God. We see that Israel was a confident people. Israel was a conquered people. Joshua and Israelites never consulted God on dealing with Ai. They didn't take the Ark of the Covenant in battle, and they trusted in their own power rather than trusting in God's power. Not only do we see a painful defeat, but we see a painful discovery. We see a painful discovery. We've realized, and the painful discovery was that Achan had sinned against God. He had took of the accursed thing. He took, what was it again? He took the Babylonian garment and the 200 shekels of silver and the wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. And he coveted it and he took it. He took that. And that had to break Joshua. You can imagine the Joshua, when he looks at his people and he looks at him and he's like, man, I never want them to ever mess up. I can imagine what it's like to be a pastor. I can only imagine that. Right now, maybe one day the Lord will let me, but I could imagine you look at everybody and you see the best in every single person. You look at every person. I do it as with the young people. I look at y'all and I want to see y'all. I mean, if y'all had the vision, if y'all's life and y'all had the visions that I had for y'all's lives, y'all'd be set for life. You wouldn't have to worry about a thing. I mean, parents, y'all'd be all right if they had the same visions that I had. All right, what I want for their life. And I could imagine what that's like for the pastor, and I could imagine what that's like for the man of God, because it's a difference for them. It's completely different than what I get to feel and what you get to feel, or what the pastor and what the man of God feels towards the people, and that love that he shows toward them. It's so great. I got to see it firsthand today. I really did. I got to see our pastor, who was really, really, he was so concerned about one of his preacher boys. He was worried about Brother Ryan. I can't go into detail, but he was really worried about Brother Ryan today. He was worried. His heart was breaking on the phone for Brother Ryan. He was. And I could just imagine what that's like, as that weight that you want to see everybody do good. And then when the people fail, oh, when they fall, it's got to break his heart. And it was a painful discovery. Joshua found out that Achan, he probably could thought when Achan walked in, he probably said, I ain't got to worry about this guy. We'll just go through the routine. Achan, what'd you do? Did you do anything? And when Achan looked at him and said, yeah, I messed up. I took the accursed thing. And he messed up. It's already too late at this point. The damage was already done. The damage was already done. It was too late at this point. Joshua, he was broken, but how did he react? He reacted in prayer. He reacted and he took it to prayer. He reacted in prayer. He reacted in prayer. And then right after he reacted in prayer, God rehearses the problem. God just goes over the problem. This is what happened, and this is what's going to have to happen. You're going to have to take him out there. You're going to have to stone him. You're going to have to bear. And I never thought about this, Brother Dakota, but imagine the pressure and the weight that had to be on Joshua right there. Because more than likely, he was going to have to throw the first stone. More than likely, he was going to have to be the leader and say, the punishment's death. And I could say he threw that stone with a cry, with a heartbreak. He had to throw that stone with a heartbreak. It had to hurt him. And that painful discovery of what sin can do. Know this right here. God knows about our sin. God knows about it. No matter what you've done, where you've been, God knows about it. You can hide it from your mom and daddy. You can hide it from everybody else, but you can't hide it from God. God knows what you've done wrong. God knows your sin. God hates your sin. God has a plan for your sin. God will punish your sin. Sin affects those around us. Sin hinders God's work. Sin must be dealt with. And you can see that right here in these scriptures. Think of this illustration. I've used this before with the kids. I'm going to use this chair right here. If this chair was sin, the way we treat sin is this right here. If it was painted up, sin, all you could see. Y'all just pretend when you see this that it says sin. When we look at that chair and we see sin, we go, I don't want to do it. It's sin. But that's not how Satan does things. He'll disguise it. I could imagine as Achan looked at that gold and that garment, that Babylonian garment and that silver and that gold, he looked at it and he said, well, if I just take a little, they're not going to take inventory of this. They're not going to know how I went. I'm here to tell you right now at work, I'm working on a thing where they sent us parts from another plant, and inventory's wrong. The inventory will never be right. They can't keep it right. It'll never be right. And he's probably in his mind, he's going, they ain't even going to know it's gone. They've not kept good records of this. They know it. They don't even, if I take this right here, how is anybody in this world going to know that it's wrong? And he's exactly right. Nobody in this world may have known that it was wrong, that it was gone. Oh, but God knew. God knew exactly. God told him where it was at. He said, it's in your house. It's there. You've got sin in the camp. It's right there. And that's how we look at sin. And we look at sin and we do this right here. Oh, one touch won't bother us. And we'll kind of do the whole one touch won't get it. But guess what? Now sin's got a hold of you. And now I can't get rid of the sin. I can't do it. I can't take the sin nowhere. But what it will do, Eamon, come here. What it will do is now I'm going to say, hey, man, I got this sin. Can you help me? And when he helps me, go ahead, try to get now. You're touched. And once you touch it, you're touched. He's attached. And then if I had more come up here, my sin has now not only affected me, now it's affected him. It's affected now. He's going to go out and he's going to say, oh, Landon, I need your help. I need your help. And Landon's going to come up here and he's going to try to help us and he's going to hurry. And he's going to come up here and he's going to grab a hold of it. And he's going to try to, and now we're all stuck. And before long now, we just look like a bunch of dummies holding on to a chair. But that's what sin will do to you. Sin will get y'all. Thank y'all. Sin will get you and it'll hold you. And it won't let you go. Sin will attack you. It's almost like a virus. It gets a hold of you. It affects you. It affects your family. It affects the way you go to work, the way you act at work. That's what sin does. That's what sin does. Sin will find you out. He will. Sin found. I could imagine Achan probably thought, they'll never know it's me. They'll never know it's me. Then we see the painful death. In verses 16 and 18, we see this right here, a sinner discovered. A sinner discovered. Let me read them to you, verses 16 and 18. The Bible says this, so Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah and took the family of the Zerahites, and he brought the family of the Zerahites man by man, and Zebediah was taken. And he brought into his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, and the son of Zabadi, the son of Zerhar, and the tribe of Judah was taken. We see that he was taken in right then, and sin, he had to discover the sin. The sin was discovered. Then we see the sin was discussed in verses 19 through 21. The sin was discussed. And that's the thing. If you'll, and I'm going to say this carefully, if you're battling sin, confess it to God. But you know what? Sometimes sin gets a hold of you and you may need somebody else's help to get over it. Never be afraid to go to a friend and say, I'm struggling with this. Will you just help me? It's a sin. You know, it's maybe an embarrassing sin. And us as that good friend, or anybody that's that good friend, you shouldn't look at him and judge him. You shouldn't. You should just look at him and do your best to be there for him, pray for him, ask God to help him, and just check on him ever so often. You never know when that little text. If God ever nudges you to text somebody, just get your phone out and text them. Just do it right then. Just say, I'm praying for you. Love you today. You'll never know what that means to somebody until you have it, obviously until you have it happen to you. And when you get that text in them days where nobody knows you're having a hard time, nobody knows you're struggling, nobody knows what you're going through, and you get that text of praying for you. Love, that really builds you up. And that's what we should do. When there's sin in our camp, we should find it. Then we should discuss it. We should get it out. Get it out there. And that's what God wants us to do today. If you've got sin tonight, you got to get it out. You got to come down here and confess it. Get sin out of the camp, because we don't want to have the cost that was paid that day. 36 men died that day that didn't have to die. 36 funerals that didn't have to be arranged. 36 young kids that didn't have to go without a father. All because one man. All because Achan just couldn't say no to sin. And now he's got that Achan breaking heart, that is just broken because of sin. When we discuss sin, we got to see that there will be compassion in sin. The Bible says if we'll be faithful, I'm not going to quote it just right, but if we'll confess our sins, He'll be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hey, all you got to do is confess them. You know, here's the thing is, God has a problem with sin. He has a major problem with sin. But you know what He has a worse problem with? Unconfessed sins. That's where the big problem lies. You know, I'm going to mess up. I'm going to fall short. But you know what I got to do? I got to say, God, I'm a failure. I've missed the mark. God, I've messed up. God, I have sinned, but I'm asking for forgiveness. And when I do, because God knows I do it, He's always there to show me a little compassion. He's always there to say, I know, son, I know you're not perfect, but 2,000 years ago, I sent my son to Calvary so that you have this opportunity to say, God, forgive me, and you will forgive me, and He'll forgive you today too. But you've got to ask Him. You've got to admit that you're a sinner. You've got to admit that you've done wrong. Then we see right here, the sinner destroyed. The sinner destroyed, verses 22 through 26. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran into the tent. And behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver was under it. Now, I do think it's pretty interesting right there how Joshua handled the sin. He sent messengers, and they ran. They knew that there was a problem. They didn't hesitate. They didn't let nothing catch them off guard. They said, we're going right now. We're not going to wait till in the morning. We're going to go right now and destroy that sin. We got to find it. We're going right now. And the messengers, they went out and found it. And they ran and they took him out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zehath, I'm not going to say it right, and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold. And listen here, and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had, and brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? And I mean, when I read that right there, I see the disappointment in Joshua's voice. He just says, why hast thou troubled us? He was known over in Chronicles, what was he known as over here in the book of Chronicles? Achan was known as the troubler of Israel. The troubler of Israel. And Joshua asked him that day, he said, why do you trouble me? Or why do you trouble us? Why? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned him with fire. And after they had stoned them with stones, they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day, so that the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. There was a memorial place that day. I would love one day for there to be a memorial about me. But I hope and pray that it's not because of that right there. That it's not that there's a memorial because I sinned. Don't do that. They basically put the memorial out there to say, don't do what Achan done. But I'm here to tell you tonight, you may come tonight with an aching, breaking heart. You may have a heart that is broken. You may have a heart, and it may not be sin that is breaking your heart tonight. It may not be. You know what it may be? You may be running from the call tonight. You may be running from the call to preach. You may be running from the call to be a prayer warrior. You may be running from it, and it's causing you to have this aching, breaking heart that you don't know what to do with. But let me just tell you tonight, there's an altar right here that even though you may be broken, there's some stories up here that could take place. This altar could speak. The stories that would be told if this altar could speak tonight of the aching, breaking hearts that was cured right here in this altar. So I want to ask you tonight, as Madeline, if you would come play. I want to ask you tonight, is your heart broken? Maybe tonight your heart is broken because of sin. Maybe you've sinned and you've messed up. And you've backslid on God. Maybe tonight you're the one that is lost and undone without God. Maybe you don't even know who God is. And your heart is breaking. There's a God tonight. There is a God tonight that is here, and He's in the heart fixing business. He's in the heart fixing business. He wants to fix your heart tonight. He wants to set your heart, if you're lost tonight, He wants to set your heart on Him. He wants to set your heart to where you'll love Him. And tonight, if you're the one that has sinned against God, if you're the one that's here tonight that has brought sin into the camp tonight, why don't you come tonight and confess it and get right with God? You may say, well, preacher, they're going to know who I am. They're going to see me. It don't matter. Is it worth lost sinners dying and going to hell because of your pride? It cost the life of 36. I wonder, by you disobeying God, how many lives are affected. I think about this right here. What if Dr. Stennett Ballou had never got right with God? How many lives he would not have affected? I think about that. What about Dr. Percy Ray and how many lives he would have never got to touch had he never got right with God? He never got saved. What if he never got saved in the first place? What if tonight, church? We know their stories and we know they didn't. We know what the outcome is, but you know what? You could be that next Stennett Ballou sitting in here tonight. You could be the next Percy Ray sitting in here tonight. You're one prayer away from God blessing you more than you could ever imagine. You're one prayer away from fixing your broken heart and God doing what happens in chapter number 8. Chapter number 8, I could imagine what it was like being a children of Israel. Sin had just got out of the camp. Revival comes in chapter number 8. Chapter number 8, they destroy. I got a feeling when they went on and attacked Ai, they went with a chip on their shoulder. They went into battle and they were ready. They had God in front of them and they destroyed them. They literally mop a floor with them. That I could imagine what took place that day. Revival. Well, it was their army was revived that day. All because they got sin out of the camp. So what sin do you need to get out of your camp tonight?